Simple and straightforward as the basic principles of international transfers of wealth may be, words and accounting rules can make it seem more complicated. If Americans buy more Japanese goods than the Japanese buy American goods, then Japan gets American dollars to cover the difference. Since the Japanese are not just going to collect these dollars as souvenirs, they usually turn around and invest them in the American economy. In most cases, the money never leaves the United States. The Japanese simply buy investment goods, Rockefeller Center, for example, rather than consumer goods. American dollars are worthless to the Japanese if they do not spend them on something. In gross terms, international trade has to balance. But it so happens that the conventions of international accounting count imports and exports in the balance of trade, but not things which don't move at all, like Rockefeller Center. However, accounting conventions and economic realities can be very different things. In some years, the best-selling car in America has been a Honda or a Toyota, but no automobile made in Detroit has been the best-selling car in Japan. The net result is that Japanese automakers receive billions of dollars in American money, and Japan usually has a net surplus in its trade with the United States. But what do the makers of Hondas and Toyotas do with all that American money? One of the things they do is build factories in the United States, employing thousands of American workers to manufacture their cars closer to their customers, so that Honda and Toyota do not have to pay the cost of shipping cars across the Pacific Ocean. Their American employees have been paid sufficiently high wages that they have repeatedly voted against joining labor unions in secret ballot elections. On July 29, 2002, the 10 millionth Toyota was built in the United States. Looking at things rather than words, there is little here to be alarmed about. What alarms people are the words and the accounting rules which produce numbers to fit those words. A country's total output consists of both goods and services, houses and haircuts, sausages and surgery. But the international trade balance consists only of physical goods that move. The American economy produces more services than goods, so it is not surprising that the United States imports more goods than it exports, and exports more services than it imports. American know-how and American technology are used by other countries around the world, and these countries, of course, pay the U.S. for these services. For example, most of the personal computers in the world run on operating systems created by the Microsoft Corporation. But foreign payments to Microsoft and other American companies for their services are not counted in the international balance of trade, since trade includes only goods, not services. This is just an accounting convention. Yet the American balance of trade is reported in the media as if this partial picture were the whole picture, and the emotionally explosive word deficit sets off alarms. Yet there is often a substantial surplus earned by the United States from its services, which are, of course, omitted from the trade balance. In 2012, for example, the United States earned $124 billion from royalty and license fees alone, and more than $628 billion from all the services it supplied to other countries. The latter was more than double the gross domestic product of Egypt or Malaysia. The Wall Street Journal's comment on the trade deficit was, "On the list of economic matters to worry about, the trade deficit is about 75th. Unless politicians react to it by imposing new trade barriers or devaluing the currency." With trade deficits, as with many other things, what matters is not the absolute size, but the size relative to the size of the economy as a whole. While the United States has the world's largest trade deficit, it also has the world's largest economy. The American trade deficit was just under 5% of the country's gross domestic product in 2011, less than half that of Turkey, and less than one-fourth that of Macedonia. When you count all the money and resources moving in and out of a country for all sorts of reasons, then you are no longer talking about the balance of trade, but about the balance of payments, regardless of whether the payments were made for goods or services. While this is not as misleading as the balance of trade, it is still far from being the whole story, and it has no necessary connection with the health of the economy.